I ask you especially to comfort Beverly, Larry, and their families. Watch over them through this service as they tell their final goodbyes to their mother. We know that this is the last thing that we can do for Doris. Help us to glorify you in all of this. Help us to remember the good thoughts always. Forgive us for any failure. In Jesus' name we pray. A year ago, right here at this spot, Larry and Beverly asked me if I would do their mother's memorial service for them. You never look forward to that. It's been on my mind ever since. She lived a long time. She lived a long life. We want to thank each and every one of you for being here to honor her and to honor the family with your presence. Doris Louise Bennett, good one. She was born February the 17th, 1926. She passed away October the 18th of this year. Doris was born in Hugo, Oklahoma in 1926 and passed on this line in Delano, October the 18th at 8:05 p.m. She was preceded in death by her husband, Leo Goodwin, in March the 1st, 1984. And they have been married 38 years. Both Leo and Doris were members and faithful attendees at the Freeville Baptist Church in Arvin, California. Doris is survived by her daughter, Beverly McColgan, and her son, Larry Goodwin. Doris leaves behind three grandchildren, Eric, Scott, Samantha, and three great-grandchildren, Brianna, Cody, and Madison, and one great-great-grandchild on the way. May we have the next song, please.
By my window on a cold and cloudy day, when I saw the earth come rolling for to carry my mother away, build a circle be unbroken by and by.
Unbroken.
thing about life is life is solid change, isn't it? It's a solid change. I look here where I stand today, and 60 years ago I was running around out here chasing rabbits, riding horses. Larry was young, like my own son. He was at my house half the time. The Bible talks about stages of our life. In Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, talks about that. And a thought I want to leave with you. Our lives are like a single play, like a music. And we are the playwrights. Lives are like a single play, and we are the playwrights. Not everything we do can guide it, but we are writing. And as I read these words, I want you to think about that. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come, and the years draw near when you will say, I have no delight in them. It's not easy to live when you get older. Lots of pain involved. A lot of disabilities. Says, I have no delight in them. No, we don't like getting old, do we? Verse number 2 says, before the sun, the light, and the moon, and the stars are darkened. When you go outside, it's not quite so light anymore. Your eyes are dim. You lose your eyesight. You begin to wear spectacles. The moon and the stars are darkened, and the clouds return after the rain. The day that the watchmen of the house tremble. The house here is kind of a parable or a type of the body, the house. Your house that you live in is your body. And it says the house trembles. Like an earthquake shaking it all the time. I know how that is. We tremble. We get old and tremble. Mighty men stoop. You were strong when you were young, many of you men. But when you get old, you stoop. You don't know. When you see a picture of them, you don't even know it's the same person. And the grinding ones stand idle because they are few. What it's talking about there is your teeth. You lose your teeth. And you can't eat your food right. And those who look through windows grow dim. When you look through the window when you get older, everything's dim outside. This is the stages of life. And the doors on the street are shut as to the sound of the grinding mill is low. And one will rise at the sound of a bird. You have insomnia. You can't sleep well. Because the aches and the pains and every little noise wakes you up. Except the noises are dim. And you go out and you sit in the yard to listen to the birds, and you have to get an ear horn or something to help you hear the sound of the birds. You will rise at the sound of the bird, and all the daughters' song will sing softly. You can hardly hear them. Furthermore, men are afraid of a high place. And tears on the road. You used to climb trees when you're young. Now you just try to walk down the road, keep from falling down, breaking your leg or hip or something. It's terrifying to just walk up here to this. You could fall down and be disabled for the rest of your lives. The almond tree blossoms. What does an almond tree look like when it blossoms? It's all white. That's talking about your hair. Turns white, if you have any. The grasshopper drags himself along, and the aphrodisiacs, Viagra doesn't work anymore. That's what it says right here. For man goes to his eternal home, while mourners go about in the streets. Remember him before the silver cord is broken and the golden bowl is crushed. Now, it's talking about a silver cord that a very expensive lamp hangs from the ceiling. A golden bowl lamp with a silver cord. Now, who owns those things? Rich people. That's the rich. You know, death, the rich and the poor are on the same level, believe it or not. Before the silver cord is broken and the golden bowl is crushed, the pitcher at the well is shattered. Now, it's an old clay pitcher. That's the poor people. And the wheel at the cistern is crushed. Verse number 7 says, then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity. Timothy's letter by the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy 6 and 7 says, for we brought nothing into this world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. When we get old, people have to take care of us. We're like babies again. Once a man, twice a child. Once a woman, twice a baby. That's the way it is. We see that. If you're lucky. Now, some of you people being here today, you may not make it to get this old. We don't ever know who they are. A lot of people die young in life, don't they? Very young. Larry, you know those people. My son does. People that were young. All our lives are like a play, and we're the playwright. The things around us affect us as we write that play. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verse number 1 says, I make known unto you the gospel which I preach to you, which you also receive, in which you stand, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, and after that he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. Your body falls asleep. Your soul and your spirit, your triune, your soul and your spirit go back to God, or wherever it's supposed to go. The Bible talks about God. It's God's information to us. It's kind of like an instruction manual. Men don't like to read instruction manual. When you get something, you get an instruction manual with it. Women always look at the instruction manual and put the thing together. But men try to write their own instruction manuals. They try to figure it out by their brainy brains, and they mess it up sometimes. The Bible's an instruction manual. The first funeral I ever did out of here about 1971 or 72, something like that, was that amazing. Right there in the room where doors closed. They wanted me to do the funeral, but they did not want me to say anything about God in that service because they didn't believe in God. They had written their own instruction manual. They tried to, atheist means no God. Agnostic means you're ignorant of God. They didn't believe in God. You know what? When you do a funeral for people like that, you don't give them any hope. What hope do you have? Is there anything? They're gone. Not in a good place. There was nothing good I could say. But at the end of that service, they wanted me to lead them in the Lord's Prayer, and everybody repeated the Lord's Prayer. And that was kind of oxymoron, too, wasn't it? Well, I'm here today to tell you that Doris is with her Lord, and Leo is with his Lord, because you can either spend your life, you can waste your life, or you can invest your life in eternal things. Spend it, waste it, or invest it. And they invested their souls in the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18, it says, but we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve, as do the rest of the world, to have no hope. The first funeral I ever did, there was no hope. You have plenty of hope in this life. You may not grieve as those rest who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Even so, God will bring with him those whom he have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not precede those who have fallen asleep. And that's a beautiful thing. So if we're talking about the rapture, when God raises the people up, we look out here, just look at this place. This is a necropolis. This is a city of the dead. But one of these days, there's going to be a whole bunch of them zip up out of these graves. Some of them left there for 1,000 years or more. But some of them are going to zip up out of the graves, and this place in the end will be all evacuated. No longer be a problem. Now, there are going to be some people on the earth in the rapture that are alive. And they're going to see people coming out of the ground. That have the believers in the Lord, those that have fallen asleep, those bodies look like they're asleep. Doris looks real good, didn't she? This looks like she's asleep. Well, that body's sleeping. But she's triune. That's only her body. But that body's going to be raised one of these days. And when the Lord resurrects her, maybe you're standing around and you get to see your loved ones come up. At about the time they get to your eye level, then you go up. That's a promise, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then those who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. This is comfort we have. Grieving is a natural and necessary process. You cry? Yeah. That's necessary. A lot of people, I've heard people say that did funerals, and they said, don't cry because they're not here, they're not with us, there's no reason for you to cry. Cry. If you want to cry, cry. That's a grieving process. That's a natural grieving process. It's like smashing your foot or trying to break your leg or something. It's grievous. The pain of losing someone you love so much is hard on you. But we have a hope. And comfort one another with those words. Not one of our lives are perfect. That is why Jesus had to die for our sins. Did you hear that? Nobody lives a perfect life. Doris wasn't perfect. Leo wasn't perfect. I'm not perfect. But the only difference between these imperfect people getting to heaven and the other people not getting to heaven is Jesus. Not one of our lives are perfect. That's why Jesus had to die for our sins. A perfect person can spend their life, waste their life, or invest their life. Doris and her husband Leo both invested in eternal life. And that's why you don't have to grieve as for a lost soul. You continue to grieve as long as you live over a lost soul. Those people that I did that funeral here in 1971 or 72, they're still grieving. There's no hope. But to you, there's hope. The greatest gift a person can leave behind for their families is the knowledge that that loved one who has gone on eternity is now with the Lord present tense. Now, what's the prescription for eternal life? How do you get that? How do you get this eternal life? John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, may have eternal life. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Any of you perfect people here? I'd like to meet one. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 10:8-13 says, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with mouth confession is made, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever then believes in him should not be ashamed or disappointed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. These are the words, the keys to eternal life. The gift that you can leave behind for your family so that they do not have to continue grieving for the rest of their lives. It's not with a perfect life that we meet the Lord. It is with a perfect salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you now. We thank you for your words that comfort our hearts. We praise your holy name for giving us this hope. Be with Larry and Beverly and all these children and grandchildren. Help them to remember the good memories and help them to be thankful for Doris that left them this gift, that she has eternal life, that they don't have to ever worry about her from here on. You will take care of them. Help us to glorify you with our lives. Help us to remember these words that you might have eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray.
Consider all. could have those who acted as pallbearers please gather to my right.